Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh,
what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometimes I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord. All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth your word, Heavenly Father, so that the things that are said this morning and the things that are done are not mine, but that they're yours. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this service this morning. Give us the guidance that we need and open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this, your word. And we ask this all in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We got a nice, wet, rainy day out here where we're at. But we know that God is working. And He's bringing a lot of things to the forefront now that really we hadn't thought about. We know that we're reaching everywhere the internet goes. I have three pastors that are friends of mine in Pakistan. And I know that they walk in places that are very dangerous. If they're caught, can mean imprisonment and death. But now we've got three in Africa that's wanting to associate their churches with us. They're wanting to be associates with us. So Ken and I are working on that right now to see what they are in need of, because financially we can't take on things that way yet. But the two of them done told him they didn't need the money. It's more or less the legality that they're seeking. So evidently, they're not with an association of any kind. They claim to be licensed, and we're going to find out how they were, make sure that's legal. And we're working on actually knowing what they teach, what they stand on, and things that way. So, but we do know that the good Lord's working. And like I was telling you, supposed to baptize Dan 11 o'clock in the morning. And I'll be talking with him after services today, because I go there to get my Sunday meal. And I'll be talking to him, and I'll be giving you a call, and maybe we can get both of you at the same time. And I'll probably end up with three of you. Because you may have to do Dan's wife, too. I'm not sure there yet. All right. You know, we as the children of God, a lot of times we don't really understand how to get things done. But if you get into God's Word, you can find the answer to every question. It's all there. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, and starting with verse 7, it tells us how we can get a lot of those answers. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We, when we begin to walk that road of righteousness, a lot of times we wonder, how can we find out how to stay on this right road? And what is it we need? Well, now we have seen here things that we need to do. We need to ask. How plain and in word. You know, when we don't speak, we can't expect to hear from God. Because he tells us, he says, ask, and we'd receive. Then he goes on to tell us to seek. That means to search. To search for it. And then he tells us to knock. That means to be persistent and continue seeking. And he said, it shall be opened. So now, let's go to this Colossians chapter 3. We started with that Thursday evening, but we didn't get all the way through that. But with chapter 3, we find out a lot of things that we need in our lives to be able to live as a born-again child of God. We do know that we have to walk in obedience unto God. And to do that, we have to know his word. That's why we need to be in church. Because we need the love and the help of each other. And the study of his word in order to be able to stay on that pathway of righteousness. Other than that, we could fall. And a lot of them have done just that. A lot of them in places that have been weak teaching and all, they have fallen away from the Lord God. Until the church world now is really in trouble. We're getting some of those back. We're getting some that have repented. And they're beginning now to get back into the Word of God and preach the Word of God as it is, instead of what they wanted to make it. Now, we're going to be starting here with verse 12. And we're going to be talking about some of the Christian virtues. What each child of God has within him. In verse 12, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." That means that you and I are to dress ourselves spiritually. He's not talking about these outward clothes, because God don't care what they are as long as they are covering. But he's talking about that spiritual dressing. You know, but he uses that metaphorically. And it lets you and I know that we need to take on certain virtues and qualities. That bowels of mercy means to be heartfelt. Think about that. You see, when we are dealing with the Lord our God, it's all to come from the heart, not just from the mouth. Because the mouth, without the Spirit, will get you in trouble. All kinds of trouble. Not only will it get you in trouble with mankind, but it'll also get you in trouble with God. All right, verse 13. It says, "Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." We all know that the Scripture tells us that if we hold grudges against each other or against anyone else, and we don't forgive them, God won't forgive us. It doesn't matter how much ridicule they caused us or talk about us, whether they've spread tales or whatever, it doesn't matter. We've got to forgive them. That means not only do you forgive them, but you forget it. You put it back to where it's not staying with you. Because if it stays with you, it's going to get you in trouble sooner or later. You'll find out that you really didn't forgive it if you hung on to it. Now, 14. "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Charity. You know, today, in the language that most people use, charity means to give something away. But that's not what this charity here is talking about. This charity here is talking about the love of God. And once we can put on that love of God, we can then grow in to that state of love perfectness. Oh no, ain't nobody perfect. You can't be perfect. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells us different. And not just once, and not just twice. But it's throughout the New Testament. We're told to be perfect as He was perfect.
Jesus. We all know he was.
We all know he was a man, lived his whole life without any sin whatsoever. Well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. He was born flesh, just like you and I.
And he was not born with that Holy Spirit to help him. He was born just like you and I.
Other than he knew why he came here, but he was walking as a flesh man. And he did not receive that Holy Spirit until John baptized him.
And then when he baptized him, John seen the Holy Spirit come to him as a dove would. Well, no one remembers that scripture, I know.
That's when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was an adult. He was a man. And then we know that he began his teaching. And his ministry lasted 3.5 years. And the Lord left this life here on this earth at 33.5 years old. But you and I are to walk in obedience. And to do that, we need this word of his. We need to know these things and to have them written on the tablets of our heart so that we don't continually forget them. And that's something we're real good at, is forgetting things, especially things that we really don't like or don't particularly want to do. Now, he's telling us here, though, to put on this charity, this godly love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what holds you and I close enough that we can walk upright and walk in that state of obedience unto God. 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God. Then let you and I know that we can walk in harmony and concord that has been created with us by God. Because once that has happened, then we have the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides you and I, and gives us the power to stay where God puts us. So that has been created by God among his people. Those that are unbelievers don't have that. But these are things that is expected by God for his children. Now, you know, you're talking about that peace too, the peace of God. We are to let that rule in our hearts. Think about it. That's what's to rule. We're not to let the things of this world out here bother us. They don't mean nothing. It's the things of God that we need to be set on and to continue to grow in. And the closer you grow to God, the more you become filled with joy and peace. And we're told that we can have such peace with God that it's beyond even understanding. We can be going through a sickness, which none of us like, nor want. But we can be going through sickness, and yet, if we are that child of God that we are to be, we can still be walking filled with joy. That joy of God. There are a lot of days I hurt. But I'm still thankful. I can still walk with joy in my heart, praising God for what I do have, for what He's given to me, and praising for what I know is coming. You don't get there overnight, but you'll eventually get there if you continue in His Word. But that's what we have to do, is continue in that Word. And 16 lets us know that. Verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you see, when you have really been filled with that love and that joy, that's things that's also there too. Because you have God's Word. And that's where wisdom comes from. That's where you get that wisdom. And then He's calling on you to touch someone else, to bring them in. That's the fruit we are to bear, is to bring others into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and get them in to the family of God and into a church somewhere to where they can get the truth and learn and grow, because we've got to continue growing in God. None of us know it all. And the day we step out of this life into the next, we still won't know it all. But you know, we take that last breath here, that next breath over there. His Word tells us, then we will know as we are known. We'll know then everything that we need, if we have been ready to go. But you see, that's the thing, being ready to go. And you know, I had a couple that came to church with me for quite a while. They both sing. And they tell you, they never studied music or nothing. And they both tell you, we're not really good singers, but we sing from the heart. And that's what this verse is talking about. Singing with hymns and psalms, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You sing to the Lord because of your love for Him. And that's what counts. Don't matter how good you are. I sing to the church or in the church every now and then. I'm not a good singer anymore. Was the time I wasn't bad. I can't say that nowadays. But When I sing, it comes from the heart. It's there to praise God. And I have a favorite song, yes. Because that song takes me back to the time that God really done what that song says to me. And the name of that hymn is He Touched Me. And the words to that song carries an awful lot of meaning. I'm going to read it to you. I ain't going to sing it to you. I'm in the middle of my message, but I'm going to read that. I want you to hear these words. And you'll know why. It says, shackle my heavy burden. Neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. In the 1966, that's exactly what He did. He brought me off of my deathbed. I was 33 years old and was given 2 days to live. I was supposed to have died at 33 years of age. Today I'm 88. He extended my life. That's why that song has so much meaning for me. It don't let me forget. Now, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we do, we should be doing it as if we are doing it for Him. On our jobs, when we have a job and we're working for someone else, we are to give them our best, the best we can give. Because that's what we are to give the Lord God. And that's what He tells you and I to give to those that we work for. And they are supposed to treat you the same. They're supposed to treat you like they want to be treated. Now, He tells us, in word and deed, and all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 18. Boy, here's something that just don't go good today. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Oh, you can't tell women that today. That don't work. They make all kinds of fun of you. They ain't careful. You're liable to get hit with something. A pot, a pan, or whatever. No, they don't want to submit to their husband. They don't want to submit really to nothing or nobody. But you see, a godly woman will, because the Spirit is with her. And she will, because that is the way it was. Woman was created to be a helper to the man, to be a companion to him. 19. This is another one goes along with 18 that the men don't want to hear today. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Men don't want to hear that either. Oh, you know I love my wife. Huh? Then why are you looking at the next door neighbor's wife? Or one that lives down the street? They just look at you and laugh. Because they don't have God inside. And they're walking with that lust that's in there. You know, well now, Pastor, you know, you just can't help things that way. Yes, you can. I know, I used to be that way. I don't guess every pretty girl ever passed by me that I didn't look at. But now, I can see one out here that is dressed to get your attention. And you know what the first thing is that pops in my head? She don't care nothing about herself. That lust is not there anymore. I have pity for her. And I'll probably say a prayer for her before, probably even before she gets out of sight, that she'll learn to dress right, the right way. You see, when you walk with God, everything changes. It's not just a few things change. Your whole life will change. And the longer you walk with him and the stronger you grow, the more you change. Because the more you will take upon yourself and the more you will pass on to others. I want to get back to having more services a week than what I'm having. I'm going to tell on her. She's sitting there, and I'm going to tell her. Here a while back, I was having services every night. My daughter wanted to know why I was having services every night. She said, no church does that. But that's what the church is supposed to do. The church, when it was created, that door was never shut, actually. As you read the Bible, you can see it. They had church every day. All day. And then sometimes way into the night. The man, when they cut a hole in that roof and let that man down through the roof, and all it was at night. The one that fell out of the loft, it was midnight when he fell. Fell and killed himself. What'd they do? They went to him. Brought him back to life. That's what the church is supposed to be about, is life and bringing them to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to be doing it constant. And the longer I go, the more the Lord is working with me and telling me, you're not reaching out enough. So I am getting ready to add another night. I've been praying about it. And I'm thinking about adding a Tuesday night. But I'm not just sure yet. But I am praying about adding a Tuesday night.
But to me, that way we don't have too many nights in between services. We have service on Sunday. Then there'll be one night without. Then we'll have services. Then there'll be a night without. Then we'll have services. Then there'll be two nights. Until we can get back, because I know God's going to be sending me more help. And as we get more help here in the church, the more we'll be able to operate and to grow. And we'll see this church one day back to full-time service, which is what it should be. We got too many churches out here today with one service a week. You cannot live and serve God one day a week and make heaven your home.
Amen.
It's hard enough with three services a week.
Amen.
And that's why I want to add at least one more real quick. And I'm asking God for guidance, because it may be to where he don't want just one more. He'd liable to put me right back in the each and every night. But if it does, I want it his choice, not mine. All right, now. Another verse that's gone in this world. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Kids today don't obey any kind of authority. Well, a few will. We do have a few good ones out there. But you'll find out that they are those that have been raised in a good church. Because other than that, they don't care about no authority whatsoever. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. See, everything works two ways. That child is supposed to obey his parent, but the parent is to take care of that child the right way. And the word is full of how we are to raise our children. We're to raise them in the church. The word tells us that. Bring them up in the ways of God. Does it mean they'll always serve him? No. But at least they've had a good start. And then what they choose to do is on them. I got one right today. Won't go to church at all. And you know why? I love her to death. But I asked her, why?
why won't you go to church anymore? Because all the time I was at home, you made me go to church. Yes, I did. They was raised in the church.
Now, as they get grown and get away from home, the choices they make is their choices. But we are to raise them in the ways of God and in the church. Was I the best dad? No. I made a lot of mistakes, especially in their early lives. I made a lot of mistakes. Me and their mother both. Now they don't want, a lot of them don't want anything to do with dad anymore. Because they don't believe dad can change that much. Boy, I still know you from way back when you were doing this, you were doing that, you were drinking 30 cans of beer a day. I remember all those things. Don't do that no more.
Amen.
But that's why family and friends will turn against you, because they can't turn loose of what you were. And we were all. No man or woman comes into this world without sin. You're born in sin. You're born with that sin nature. And you carry that until you find the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of it. You got to kill it. You got to put it to death. Now, servants, obey in all things your masters. We were talking about that a little earlier. According to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I work for somebody, I am to give them my best, just as I am to give God my best. Well, he don't treat me right. That don't matter. You're there for two reasons. You're there because it's a way for you to get through this life, or to help you through this life. But your main purpose is to please God. Yeah, but he's got the answer for what he does. In 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. See, that means your best, heartily. As to the Lord and not unto man. You don't look at it as you're doing it for man. You're doing it for God. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's the reward you're to look for even on that job, is the reward that will come to you because you are giving your best. And your reward is going to be coming from Almighty God. A lot of them don't think that way, though, do they? Well, we're coming to the last verse, so with this, we will close this morning. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, And there is no respect of persons. It don't matter who you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, what color your skin is, or where you come from, or just how well off you think you are. There's no difference with God. He loves us all the same. He wants every one of us. God does not want not one soul to miss heaven. But it's your choice to whether you're going to choose to walk with him or not. And if you choose not to spend time with him, not to go to church, not to study his word, then you're not going to make heaven your home. But it's your choice, because he loves you. He wants you. That was the reason he sent Christ into the world, was to make a way so we could all make heaven our home. Because Christ is to reconcile us back to him. He's wanting you and I to be reconciled back to him, because that's where we came from. This spirit that is inside this body, that is me, came from him. He put it there in my mother's womb. He put that being there, or I wouldn't be here today. Nobody else would be. You came from God, and one day you're going to go back and stand before him. But it's your choice of how you're going to live here and whether you're going to aim to please him and make heaven your home, or whether you're just going to give up, go the ways of this world and go on to hell and eventually end up in that lake of fire forever. It's your choice. He's not going to force you to do anything. If God forced us to follow him, we'd be puppets, robots. No. He wants us. And he wants us to choose him. Because he wants us to love him like he loves us. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come to share your word with each other, to be here, Father, to help, to support one another, and to work within the communities where we live, to be one that will share your word with others, to make sure that all can hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to a saving knowledge and to live with him throughout eternity. Use us, Father. Use us in great and mighty ways. Give us the guidance we need. And Father, we know that knowledge and wisdom and the power to do the things you will ask of us all comes from you. And it is brought to us through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we do pray for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this nation of ours, Father, that has fallen so far away and done so, Father, without any excuse whatsoever. A nation that at one time had its government upon the foundation of your word. They stood with the church. They stood with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, they took him out of everywhere he was in. They want to remove your church today, Father. They want to remove your people. They want to stop us, Father. But we all know that those that really belong to you, Satan can't have. He can't reach them. They have been given authority to stand and use the name of Jesus to keep away Satan. And he knows this, Father. That's why he's after them before they get strong enough to stand against what he will send against them, to pull them away from you. But Father, help us to help them to grow stronger and stronger, and help us to reach more each and every day, Father. And let us never wonder about when or who to talk to, because we are to speak your word to everyone we know, everyone we meet. We are to share your love within. Now, Father, for our prayer list. But, Father, we do want you to work with us to remove those from office in our government that's against the church and against Jesus. And work with us to put replacements in that will stand with the church, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to bring this land to repentance, our land, Father, to repentance for the evil it has brought upon its people, and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our prayer list, Father, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father. These brothers all come from different walks of life. But when they come together, Father, for their meetings, my prayer is that they will come together in one mind and one accord, and that being in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Pastor Smalls of the Glory Bound Church, Pastors Randy Johnson and Luke Bess, and the Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Father, Pastor Tony Galladay. These churches, make them lighthouses, Father, and places of refuge to where those that are walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. These pastors, Father, I pray that they are living a life and teaching your word so that they can be filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit to do your work within their ministry to help bring this nation once again under God. Father, that's what we need today. Now this young man, Will, ordained into the ministry. Father, my prayer is that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit, and he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, keep one there, Father, that can keep that church with the Holy Spirit so that it too can be a lighthouse and a place of refuge for the lost walking in darkness in that area, and help to be a light unto the community in which it stands. For my friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Aslam, for Pastor Barak Mishai, for Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, be with them. Keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For those that are here with me in this church, Father, for Sister Beatrice, for my daughter Cindy, for Dennis, my deacon, Father, for myself, touch us, Father. Touch us all with thy healing hand. Heal our aches and pains, Father. But put that desire and that love of Almighty God within us. And give us a desire to stay in your word and to grow strong in our life. To become that child that you want us to be. Use us all, Father, in great and mighty ways. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Jim Taylor, for Casey Smith, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft, Father, these all stand in need of thy healing hand, touching them in a great and mighty way. And Father, touch them in a way that they'll know it was you and not mankind, not just luck, but it was you that brought about the change in their life. Now, Father, this church, it's yours, not mine. You set me here as an overseer. Now make of this church, Father, what you want it to be. Use me in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in his sweet, precious name, Father, we pray. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone. Remember now, God willing, we can all be together again come 6 p.m. this evening. Once again, we'll be back into his word. So until then, have a good afternoon. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.